Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Listen, my friend, if you want to experience all that Christ has obtained for you, you need to stay hungry. You need to stay thirsty. And that is one of the biggest challenges that we have in the kingdom of God, because people become complacent. They stop hungering for spiritual things. Now, I'm going to elaborate on this a little bit more in a minute, but I want you to see something. God will always meet you when you're hungry. He will always meet you when you're thirsty. He'll satisfy what you're looking for if you'll come after Him. Now, let me show you this in a very practical way. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I want to show you a story. This account in the gospel has always stood out to me. And, you know, many times you can read things in the gospels, and the Lord with me for years has, when I was reading certain passages, at times had things just leap out at me, just like literally jump off the page, you know, and like slap you in the face. And like, hey, did you see this? And a lot of times you read those same scriptures and other people read it, didn't see a thing. But it jumps out at me and it yells, it screams, say, hey, there's something important here you need to know. This is one of those passages. Now, there are many instances when Jesus healed the blind, you'll find in the scriptures. But this one is a little bit different. It's similar in some ways to an account when blind Bartimaeus was healed. Remember that? Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting outside the gates of Jericho. Jesus and his entourage went into the city, and then they came out of the city. And as they came out of the city, this man heard this commotion and asked, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He started crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he cried out to the point where the crowd tried to get him to shut up. Would you be quiet? But he wouldn't. He cried the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus passed right by this fella, but then he stopped, commanded him to be brought to him. And this is a very similar story. Notice this, Matthew chapter 9. Beginning with verse 27, it says, and when Jesus departed from thence, now let me explain and give you a little bit of background information. Have you ever had a day that just plain exhausted you and wiped you out? This was one of those days for Jesus. When it says, when he departed from thence, it's literally referring to the home of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus had just gone in and raised his daughter from the dead. But just prior to that, he had gotten out of a boat and met Jairus, but on the way to Jairus' home, a woman with an issue of blood pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment and said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And immediately she was healed. And Jesus stopped to have a conversation with her. But just prior to that, he'd been on the other side of the lake in the land of the Gadarenes and had cast a demon out of a man who had just terrified the entire countryside. This man was full of a legion of demons, and Jesus had just set him free. Now, all of that had happened in this one day just before what we're about to read. So Jesus had a long, exhaustive day of ministry. So once you understand the background, it gives you a little clearer picture of what's going on. Notice what happened. Matthew 9, 27. And when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. Now, most people read that, don't get a thing. But that just leaps out at me and screams. You know what it screams? Number one, the blind men were crying out to Jesus and he kept going. They followed him. Now, where did they follow him to? He was going to the house. Now, we don't know if it was his house or a home he was staying in. But regardless, he was headed to the house, brother. He just had a long, exhaustive day of ministry. And here you got these two blind guys in the crowd following him, crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. He keeps on walking. Now see, this is what separates the wheat from the chaff, the men from the boys, the hungry from the complacent. Many people would have had an attitude that said something like this, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Where's he going? Well, did you see that? He just kept right on going. My goodness, what kind of preacher is that? Didn't even stop. He just walked in. Did you hear that? I know he heard you. He had to hear you. How rude of him. He just walked on, but where's he going? Ask one of those guys where he's going. Hey, get one of the disciples. Where are y'all going? We're going to the house. We're tired. Oh, he's more concerned about getting his beauty sleep than he is doing the work of the ministry. Are you with me? See, that's the kind of attitude that'll cause you to miss it. When you get complacent, when you think, huh, who's he think he is? Well, okay, good, stay blind then. I don't mean that in a, you know what I mean? But Jesus kept going. Not only that, he went to the house. Notice that these blind guys followed him. He was not waiting for them. They followed him. Not only that, they followed him to the house. Not only that, he went in the house. They had to come in the house. So they finally track him down in the house, Al. He didn't stop in the street. He walked right by him. Kept on trucking. They kept crying out. Now the word cry here is the same word that is used to describe blind Bartimaeus, kradzo. And it means to croak. And it's an annoying thing. And have you ever heard a crow sitting on the pole? Ah, 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 it's annoying. A lot of times if I'm not in an area where something will get damaged, I'll pick up a rock. I mean, you know, get away from me. And that's what these men were doing. They were crying out in Hebrew. Yeshua, weos debid, eleome, have mercy on me. Crying out. Now, nobody told them to shut up. They're probably also stunned after what they just seen raising this 12-year-old girl from the dead. Jesus is heading to the house. So they follow him, crying out the whole way, heading to the house. Now notice this. Go down to verse 28. And when he was come into the house, say into. Jesus went home, went in the house. The blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And immediately their eyes were opened. And he said, don't tell anybody about this. But they went out and blabbed everywhere. You with me? But here's something that I want you to see. These guys were hungry and thirsty. They knew if they got to him, they could receive their healing. In spite of the fact that he passed them by, didn't stop them. They were hungry. They kept crying out. In spite of the fact that he went on home, didn't stop them. They kept crying out. They even went in the house. And Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? Well, evidently they did, or they wouldn't have followed him all the way to the house. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you followed God all the way to the house? Or did you stop on the corner someplace? When's the last time you followed him all the way into the house? He went into the bedroom and you're right behind him because you wanted it that bad. Are you with me? How hungry are you? Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness because they'll get satisfied. I never will forget something Pastor Martin said a couple years ago when he was here at MGCC. He said, if you come to my home at Thanksgiving time, and I've got the table set with the biggest spread of all the fine meats and breads and sauces and everything you could ever want. If you leave there with four slices of bread and that's it, don't blame me. I'm telling you what, folks, in the kingdom of God, the table is full. How hungry are you? When's the last time you followed God to the house? Or did you stop at the corner? Are you with me? Or did you stop on the porch? How bad do you want it? They that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. God will meet them there. Now, I want you to understand two things. Number one, they had to pursue Jesus into the house. Number two, he did not stop and wait on them. They had to follow after him. They had a desire on the inside of them that compelled them to follow this man in the house. They weren't giving up. You know, they were sort of like the Syrian woman, the Lebanese woman, that is recorded in one of the other gospels, where Jesus and his disciples took a break. They went to Tyre and Sidon, which is southern Lebanon, to get away. They went into a home. They didn't want anybody to know that he was there. Well, this woman found out he was there. She got in the house. She said, "Lord, have mercy on my daughter. She's got a devil." And the Bible says he didn't say a word to her. So she kept crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And so finally, Jesus said, "You know, go tell her I'm not sent to her. I'm only sent to the Jews. I'm not sent to the Gentiles. She's not a covenant person." Well, she slipped around her disciples, his disciples, fell at his feet, and she said, "Lord, help me." He said, "It's not right to take what belongs to the children and give it to the pets under the table." She said, "Yeah, that's true, but even the pets get what they miss. In other words, I ain't leaving till I get mine. Are you with me?" See, but some of us would have stopped. When the disciple said, "It's not for you." "Oh, okay. Thank you very much." "What do you mean it's not for me?" She wouldn't quit. She was hungry. She was thirsty for the deliverance of her daughter, and God met her there. Are you with me? Let me ask you two questions again. When's the last time you followed God to the house? How hungry are you? Amen? Now, let me shift gears a little bit. Let me show you how this comes into play with our lives. I'm not going to teach very long today. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We need to maintain a spiritual hunger and thirst for godly things, because without it, you will begin to become complacent. Or there was a time when Jesus appeared to John, the aged disciple on the Isle of Patmos, gave him a revelation, told him some things about future events. That is what we call the book of Revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. But he told John to address seven churches that existed on the earth at that time. One of them was the church at Laodicea. All of these churches are in Asia Minor, most of them in what is now modern Turkey. And people have thought that they are different church ages. Well, you can apply some of that, but literally, these were churches that existed at the time. And he said to the church at Laodicea, he said, "You're neither hot or cold." He said, "I wish you were hot or cold." He said, "But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out." You know? And so there's a danger that if we're not careful, we get into that lukewarm state. We're not on fire for God. We're not cold, but, you know, we're someplace in the middle. When's the last time you followed God to the house? How hungry are you? We've got to watch it. Because if we're not careful, here's what happens. And without going into great detail, we are warned in the scripture. And this warning has to do with those who teach or preach, ministers. You know, hey, I'm anointed to teach. That's my job. But I'm not anointed to live it. I got to live it just like you. But here's the great thing. The longer you do it, the easier it gets. If I can do it, you can do it. You with me? And the key is being born again, having the life of God on the inside of you, and renewing your mind with God's word. And then you can control your flesh. Are you with me? But there's a warning in the scripture, and it talks about those who have trampled underfoot the blood of Christ. And literally, it's talking about those, and one translation says it this way, they treat the holy blood of the covenant as though it were a common thing. And that's a danger that we all need to be aware of, that we treat holy things as though they were common. Now, what do you mean, Pastor Bill? Well, let me show you. Here are a couple examples. You know, there are a lot of things we do in life that are common. How many of y'all go to the dentist? Hopefully everybody will raise their hand. Lord have mercy, please. Yes, we all go to the dentist, right? I go to the dentist twice a year for a cleaning. And my dental coverage pays for my cleaning because they don't want my teeth to rot. All right? And I've been so good at taking care of my teeth. Now, my teeth are a little bit different than yours. I still have baby teeth in my mouth. I'm 58 years old, still got baby teeth. Ha. Okay? They just never fell out. The perms are up there waiting. But they say, hey, you know, I went to the dentist not long ago. She said, phew, I ain't never seen anything like this before. I said, what? She said, you still got baby? Yeah, I know. I've been hearing it all my life. But I go twice a year to get my teeth cleaned. Okay? And every time I'm there, they set my appointment for 6 months later. And my next appointment is in March, and I know the date, but I don't remember the time, but they always call me and remind me. Now, that's a common thing, right? And so, when my appointment at the dentist is for 3:30, I'm there at 3:30. That's a common thing. I don't come rolling into the dentist office at 3:45, 4 o'clock. We all go to the doctor. You have a doctor's appointment, you're there on time. Sometimes you show up a little bit early. All of us at one point in life have worked a job. Jobs normally want you there at a certain time and you work till a certain time. Well, if you start at 9 a.m., you're there at 9 a.m. if you're smart. All right? Now, if you're not so smart, you show up at 9:30. Do that for 3 or 4 times. You'll be looking for another job. Are you with me? I've had to fire people in life because I couldn't show up on time. One time I got called to a hearing, had to go before the, you know, who was it? Unemployment hearing or whatever. Why'd you fire him? I said, he couldn't show up on time. Well, wasn't it because of his performance? No, his performance was fine. I said, but the brother couldn't show up on time. Well, was anybody else late? Yeah. Did you fire them? No. Why not? Because I warned them verbally and that sufficed. That took care of it. But this dude, after I warned him verbally, wrote him up, kept coming in. Like, well, he wanted me to fire him so he could stay home, collect unemployment. Well, that's cool, but it wasn't my money. And because he willfully was disobedient, he ain't getting no unemployment. That's another story. But see, that's a common thing, right? But when it comes to church, oh, did I say it? Church, C-H-U-R-C-H, where we worship the Most High God, where we experience His presence, where we listen to the Holy Ghost, some of us treat it as though it were less than common. Because you wouldn't show up late for the dentist. You sure wouldn't show up late for your job, but you come to church late every week. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Amen? Less than common. When's the last time you followed God to the house? Or were you too lazy to get up? Amen? Here's another area where we've got to be careful. And the last guest speaker we had, Valerie and I took Marcel and Evelyn out to dinner. We always treat our guests with respect. We pay their way here. We pay their expenses. And we bless them because we realize that what they're doing is a holy thing. Lives are changed. I had dinner with Marcel and Evelyn, and I apologized to Marcel because there were so many distractions, so many things that went wrong. And here's one thing that we all need to be careful of. Now watch, this is we're all home folks, except for a couple guests, but you know, put your fingers in your ears. No, don't, really. Here's a little tip for you. When we have a guest speaker, even though he's been here many, 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 many times, when he comes in and sits down, don't do this. Oh, Cheryl, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, the last time you were here, that was so good. I'm telling you, that was really... How's the family? Everybody doing okay? What'd you do this year? Did you go anyplace on vacation? Now, wait a minute. He's sitting here trying to hear from heaven so he can minister God's word, and we're chatting him up. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. You with me? Even myself as the pastor, and Charles knows this, others know, I don't get involved in heavy conversations before I teach. Because I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to God. Because somebody's life can be changed in the service. But see, people will treat the anointing as though it's common. Common thing. Hey, Bill, how you doing? I'm doing great. Hey, you know what? Last week I went on, yeah, that's great. I don't want to hear it. You with me? Watch, everybody will stay away from me now. You don't have to do that, but don't engage somebody who's about to minister holy things in an earthly conversation. Just go up to them and say, hey, Cheryl, God bless you. Glad you're here. You with me? He don't want to talk to 15 people before he gets up and ministers the word. Are you with me? He doesn't want to be standing up here ministering the word and people are walking behind him going through the curtain. Distracting. You know, that's a tough thing. Once you get distracted, it's hard to stay focused on what you're supposed to do. And so I've learned over the years to how to stay focused. Now, sometimes things will happen that'll get you off track a little bit. You got to get back on track. That's why I do notes and outlines so I can stay on track. Are you with me? But many of us have fallen into this mode where we treat holy things as though they were common. That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. You with me? And so we need to not only understand spiritual things and hunger and thirst for them, but there needs to be a reverence for them. Notice Hebrews chapter 12. Did I ask you to turn there?
Yes.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. Notice what it says. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before God. Notice that. Deeply reverent before God. We're dealing with holy things. Now, the King James New Testament says that we should have reverence and godly fear. Now, that word fear has to do with respect, has to do with honoring God, giving him his proper place, because he's not a man. You with me? He's not a man. He is Almighty God. The Message Bible says it like this. But brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God, for God is not an indifferent bystander. He's not just standing there saying, hey, I'm just chilling. No, he's paying attention. He's watching. Are you with me? And so we need to understand and approach holy things and treat them as such. Now, holy does not mean untouchable. Do you know that? It does not mean untouchable, but it does mean that you give it its proper place in your life. And it always used to amaze me how people in life can strive for the best job, the best education, go to the best doctor, but when it comes to spiritual things, anything goes. Go to some sloppy, jacked up church. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is so that we don't become sloppy and jacked up. Are you with me?
Yes.
Where we lose that respect for the things of God.
Yes.
Where we lose that reverence for holy things. And that we start to treat holy things as though they were common. Now, there's another principle in the kingdom of God that you'll see as we continue to teach in this series. That's called the law of reciprocity. That means God responds to you based on, and in part you see it in this lesson, your desire. When's the last time you followed him to the house? How bad do you want it? How hungry are you? Well, he'll respond to you in kind. There was a time when Jesus was ministering to a rich young ruler, rich guy, young fella. He said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what's the word say? He said, well, don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery, blah, blah. He said, great, do it. He said, I've been doing these things since I was a young person. And Jesus looked at this man, had compassion on him and loved him. He said, you're missing one thing. He said, what's that? He said, go take what you have, sell it, and give to the poor. Then come take up your cross and follow me. Now, this man who had prided himself in following the word had forgotten what Proverbs 19:17 says. It says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. He trusted in God except when it came to his stuff. And the Bible says he went away sad because he had great possessions. I think literally great possessions had him. This guy could have been Jesus' next treasurer, but he blew it. Why? Because he was more concerned with his stuff than he was holy things. He had the desire until it demanded something of him. Are you with me? And that's the way we are in life. We have the desire. Our intentions are good. But when it makes a demand on you, now that's when the rubber meets the road. You with me? Well, if I'm going to do that, I got to get up. Yeah, you do. Well, if I'm going to do that means I got to be there. Yeah, you do. When's the last time you followed God to the house? How hungry are you?